Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our first episode in almost a month. It's Shane alongside Frankie, as always, and we have a good show ahead of you. We have two of the newest members of the EE football team. But, you know, before we introduce them, it's been kind of a crazy last, a month in the CFL, right? A lot of big names are signing, and probably a lot more than we all expected.
Yeah, well, two of them will be on with us today, but some guys that we haven't seen in a long time playing football, Derek Dennis, Jonathan Rose. We've seen guys like Sherrod Baltimore come back, Gerard Fernandez come back. I believe Cody Fajardo's deal got reworked. We've seen a whole bunch. Did Bo get reworked?
I don't think so. I don't think his contract needed to be reworked. I might be mistaken. I don't know.
I know Mike Riley did. It's been so long.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Riley did it because he had his grievance thing going on. So I don't know what. Yeah, but overall, I think Thurman is back in Calgary. We haven't seen him in a couple of years. Darrell Walker going back to Edmonton. He was a huge name in the market last spring, and we were kind of wondering where he was going to sign. So some big names have re-signed. The Ticats just announced that 8 guys from their 2020 draft class have been signed. There's been a lot more movement than I think most of us expected with free agency looming in a couple of weeks.
Well, it's good to see too, right? I mean that to me signifies that teams are feeling pretty good about the fact that we might be having football when we should be next year. This year felt awful without it. So,
yeah, that's for sure. And I mean, I think it's also more than just the teams, right? It's the players. Having a guy like Darrell Walker or Derek Dennis sign for our fans' perspective has to kind of put a bit of a confidence boost in the fact that the league is going to play in this when it's supposed to play. Because why would these guys sign unless they felt confident that there would be the season would start to when it starts on time?
Mm-hmm. Well, even more so for the teams. I think the teams signify more than the players, because for the players, I mean, you don't have anywhere else to go, really. What else are you going to do? For the teams, though, we don't know what these contracts break down into, obviously. There could be a signing bonus. There might not be. We don't know. But for a team to look at a Derek Dennis or Jonathan Rose right now, or any other player for that matter, and to feel the confidence that there's going to be football next year and to put an offer on the table and give them some money, I think that's a big, big step for us in getting back to football.
100%. And they just came out and announced that the CFL 2021 Draft Combine will be virtual. I'm excited to see how that plays out. Obviously, there's going to be some issues in terms of, you know, clocking and some of the measurements and whatnot. But hey, it's the new normal for now. Obviously, I think next year in 2022, they will want to be back in Toronto or Calgary, wherever they do their regional combines and then the national combines in person. My thing is, though, is that what are we going to expect from these kids? Because realistically, there are young men. With the combine starting, they haven't played football in over a year. And they're going to go into the combine. Obviously, they're working. I know Carlton had their team workouts, and teams have been allowed to work out their players throughout the year. But you're going into this without any game film. And for some players, this could be a make or break it combine for them.
What exactly do you read into it, right? If you're GM Shane and you're going to this combine virtually, what does it matter, right? Wouldn't you rather just look at the game film from last year? And I guess the only thing that I'd possibly look at and say, is the player in shape? Is he going to be ready to play football for me come June? That's literally the only question I would have about it. If so what? If you're a little bit slower, if you don't run the 4.440 like you expected to, and you run a 4.5 instead, is that going to deter me away from you? No. If you come to that combine and you show me that you're going to be ready to play football in June, I'm not going to worry about it too much, right? Nobody's seen the field since, last November? It's been more than a full year since somebody's seen the field. What can you possibly expect, to your point?
Which is why I'm kind of surprised that they're even having the combine. I figured that they would wait it, maybe have an invitational where you can get these draft picks in, kind of like a pro day more than a combine. But overall, there's some big news that's coming. I know Randy Ambrosi addressed the league today about the plans and whatnot of the CFL heading into the summer or into the spring. And we're I'm excited for it. Hearing Ambrosi talk, I mean, he's annoying to listen to at times, but hopefully anytime he talks, it should be all positives, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So we got one of our guests in. Hopefully we'll be joined by Jonathan Rose soon. But we got Derek Dennis waiting, so we'll get him into the show. I think he's just finishing up. How you doing?
What's going on, y'all? What's going on?
It's so good to hear from you again, Derek. We've missed you a lot.
It's been a minute. It has been a minute.
How was the holidays for you and the family?
Oh, the holidays was good. I can't complain, man. I had a good Christmas. Kids enjoyed themselves, spent a lot of money. But, I mean, what's new? That's how it goes. But, yeah, man, we was able to get through the holidays safely. Just enjoying time with my kids. And, yeah, just that's about it.
Some new shoes on the way or what?
Nah. I actually slowed down on the sneaker buying. Buying diapers and wipes and stuff is kind of taking up the space for the sneaker money.
Yeah, that's fair. We're just
trying to figure out some issues with Jay Rose here.
Well, I'll let you deal with that because you've been in contact with him more than I have through this. I mean, Frank is the one who set it all up. But, you know, you're still in Arizona, right, Derek? You're still hanging out there?
Yeah. I'm being Phoenix for a little bit. I actually just I purchased the home. So I moved in, got a new build out here, you know, brand new home, kind of established some roots and, you know, get myself settled in one place because football's had me bouncing around a lot of places. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we'll get right into it. You went from probably being the hottest free agent going back to last offseason to signing with Edmonton. How did that all transpire? Because I know I've been interested from the moment they announced it. How did that go for you? And were you expecting a deal this early, or were you expecting to kind of wait a little bit?
To be honest, after free agency last year didn't go as planned for me, I really had no clue, man. You know, I went to the XFL, and I thought after that happened, it was going to be a CFL season, and I was going to end up with a team. I didn't know who. I just doing research. There was a couple teams I felt like could have used my services to like kind of complement, you know, finish off with like a roster that I wanted to compete for a Grey Cup. And that's really all I really, at this point in my career, I just want to compete for championships. So, you know, the individual accolades and all that stuff is cool. I mean, of course, that's goals. That's goal. That stuff is a player that you always want to achieve. But the biggest thing for me is, you know, after winning that Grey Cup at 18, I want to get that feeling again. I want to be able to experience that again. So, to be honest, I didn't really know. You know, I had a couple teams, you know, peek in, check in on me, you know, do how teams do a tire check, see how things are going, see how you're feeling, kind of let you know, hey, you know, we'll see how things work out. And then I've been in contact with Edmonton before. Brock has actually tried to get me to come to Edmonton a few times. The first time I actually, you know, had contact with him was when I got released from SAS, and he wanted to see if I wanted to come to Edmonton then, and I ended up deciding to go back to Calgary. And then I still had a little bit of interest when I had free agency, just speaking to other people that was on the staff and just seeing where things was at with me. And then after the last season, things being canceled and not really knowing what was going on, it was kind of like I was actually at work and my phone rang and I saw it was the Edmonton phone number. So I was like, I don't know anybody in Edmonton, so it's got to be a football team. So, you know, I answered it. It happened to be Brock, man. And we talked it out for a couple of days and figured something out.
Yeah, I mean, you've been on the Calgary side of the battles of Alberta. Are you excited to be on Edmonton's side heading into, you know, the start of the season and even those Liberty matchups? You know, you always come in, you see with the face paint, the hair. Are we expecting to see green and yellow hair this year, or are you done with the hair?
I mean, I told everybody last year when they asked me if I was going to dye my hair before the season started. Normally, the people know that it's season time when I dye my hair. So I had to take a little step back from that just because I'm getting up there in age, and I didn't want to mess with my hair follicles too much with all the dyeing and stuff. We'll see. I mean, the last time I dyed my hair green, my wife and kids wasn't too happy about it. So I don't know if I'll do it again, but we'll see.
Derek, forgive me if you can't answer this one, but – as Red Blacks fans, we've been dying for you to come to Ottawa at some point, right?
Right.
Did the Red Blacks have any interest?
No.
Shane, we got to do something about that, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised considering that most of our guys are coming back. And, you know, most of them were drafted by Desjardins, and he's not going to, you know, give up on the guys he drafted. But honestly, though, I'm happier in Edmonton more than Montreal or Toronto or Hamilton, because that would have been hard to see you in one of those colors more than
seeing. I mean, honestly, I thought possibly Toronto might be a landing spot for me. Just looking at the roster and having a relationship with Dinwiddie being in Calgary and, you know, having a past relationship with Murphy. There's a lot of people in that organization, you know. A couple of my boys went there, you know, Breskison, DeVaris Daniels, a lot of guys that I have good relationships with. So, I mean, Toronto was actually kind of an appealing landing spot, especially because I'm an East Coast guy. I would have been closer to family. My family would have been before COVID and everything hit, it would have been, you know, a nice spot for family to come and watch me play and stuff like that. But, I mean, to be honest, Edmonton is a perfect landing spot, man. I know the province of Alberta well. I know the city of Edmonton well. I mean, that's where I got my Grey Cup. You know, I'm familiar with that locker room, being in there for a whole week and get to experience it. So I was actually, you know, when we got there for Grey Cup, I was actually pretty jealous. I was like, man, these guys are actually living a little better than we are in Calgary. You would think, you know, being on a winning team, you would have, you know, the facilities would be top notch, but. I mean, the stuff that they have to offer for players at Edmonton, man, is pretty sweet, man. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
Is that something you look at when you're weighing the options between Edmonton and Toronto, more so than just the roster?
It is a part of it. As a football player, you want to feel like you have the means and the resources to, you know, take care of your body. You know, feel like you're actually a pro athlete and you're preparing yourself. I mean, I've been in so many pro leagues and so many pro teams and been in so many different environments that just essentially, you know, I've seen it all. Like even in XFL, our facility was a hotel essentially. Like, you know, we met in the hotel, we ate in the hotel. You know, we stayed. The meeting room was essentially like a business floor. So if you ever seen like a business complex above a hotel, that's essentially what it was. So it's like the locker rooms and the meeting rooms was at the top level of the hotel and in the business areas. And then you take a couple floors down and then you go to your hotel room. So, I mean, I've been on both sides of the spectrum. You know, been in NFL and been in super top notch facilities where cafeteria is feeding you, you know, grass fed meat and you're getting smoothies and shakes and all that type of stuff. Like I've seen it from all ends. So as a pro athlete, you just want to know you have the resources to, just be successful, man. I think that shows a lot of an organization and what they want their players to be able to do and be able to have, you know, the ability to use by the facilities.
Okay, so we've got a couple questions rolling in from some listeners right now, Derek. I know we've asked you this one in the past, but Sam wants to know your favorite CFL city to play in.
Ah, man, that's tough. I would say my favorite probably would be. I would say Montreal. I like the city of Montreal. I think that's mostly due to the fact that I'm a New York City kid. So Montreal kind of has that big city feel, especially when you're in the downtown area and you're going down that that busy avenue where all the stores and all that stuff is. I don't know the name of it. I'm not even going to try to butcher it right now. But I think Montreal might be my favorite city. I think my second favorite probably would be Vancouver.
Well, I'm just thinking about that that combination. What could have been you and Tony Washington out there? That would have been not only scary, but drip gang.
Yeah, that's almost like band. Actually, you know what? Me and Tony have a good relationship, and I always get on Tony about his swag. I always tell him that he got to step his swag up a little bit. It's a little old school. But this past season, he always gets me. He's like, "Yo, bro, I was wearing Nikes for the first time this year, so I'm a little more drippier." So I'm like, "All right, I'll give you a pass on that."
Shane, I can't tell. Is that Eric Rogers in the chat there? Is that who?
Yeah, actually, your old teammate, Eric.
if you're listening to this, I need to figure out what side Eric is on right now, because according to the news, Eric is supposed to be going to free agency, but. He's still acting like he is Stampeder, so I don't know what Eric's situation is, but now, of course, you know I'm going to say Eskimo's going to win all three matchups next season. It's not going to be one loss, so I don't know what you expect me to say to that, Eric.
Actually, Derek, about that Eskimo thing, what do you think the new name's going to be?
Oh, that's right. I forgot the name's not. I'm sorry. Edmonton football team. Let me say the correct phrase. Let me not use the other, the former name. So my apologies. That's being an old player and used to saying the other one. But the Edmonton football team is going to win all three matchups. I don't know.
Real quick, well, shoot us a message on Twitter. 13th man, we'll send you a link to the chat. You can join the show.
He's not gonna come in. He's trying to stir up some trouble right now. The real question is, weren't you going to do a free agency, Eric? That's the real question.
Hey, he can break that right here if he wants to.
Yeah, shoot us a message on Twitter. We'll get you in. You can talk about see what you're doing for free agency.
Oh, man. That's funny.
So what do you like for that name? I mean, Elk has been tossed out there. Express, I think they've talked about energy. There's a couple others that, I mean, are just kind of ridiculous, and they just sound like they're some Madden football team. But
right. I'll be honest. I mean, I don't know. I thought Empire would have been cool, but apparently they're not a fan of Empire. I mean, I know that's always been Edmonton's kind of nickname. I'm still trying to, get up on, the monikers and the nickname that a team like to go off of. But to be honest, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's really not my cup of tea to really figure out. I just put on pads and I hit people, so I'm gonna stick to what I know.
Eric says he's going to be scoring many a touchdown this year, so we'll see.
That's for sure. We all know Eric is going to be Eric. No one's doubting that.
Speaking of Eric Rodgers scoring touchdowns, a man who might stand in the way of that is Jonathan Rose. He has joined us now. We'll see if he can get there. We go.
How's
it going, John?
Yeah, I turned his mic on.
All right, we'll do it.
We're good. Welcome back. It's good to see you again.
Yes, sir. Back in business. How you doing, my man?
Derek. Not too bad.
What's good, Jay Rose?
Good. What I missed.
All right. Just Derek talking about Derek, and a couple shots with Eric Rodgers. But
yeah, he trying to stir up some trouble. He must be bored at home.
Man, I got some time, man. I got some time today. Let me get into it.
Oh, yeah. That's what I like to hear.
So we're going to see some J-Rose and Rodgers one-on-ones next year, I'm assuming, no matter what team he goes to?
Nah, man, it's whatever. I don't really hold no competitive grudges against anybody. Competition is competition. I just want to see what he's going to do. He kind of getting older, though. I don't know. He's falling off. So, I mean, I just want to see how long he's going to hold on. Brady holding on pretty tough. So he up there with them older guys. I want to see this going to hold on to that game.
Oh, man. E-Raj, I mean, I ain't going to say nothing because I know inside trade secrets, so I ain't gonna speak too much. I ain't going to be that guy.
Oh, no.
The invitation's out there if he wants to come on and defend himself right now, but if he wants to shy away, he can do that too.
And the smoke is always free.
I heard you say you just play ball. Is that what I'm saying, too? I just play ball.
That's it. I just play ball. I ain't into that, man. I just play ball.
Okay, so first things first, for both of you guys are coming off of semi-similar situations. You guys were both out of contracts last year for different reasons, of course. But did you guys talk at all to each other about where you wanted to end up, or is it just coincidence you both ended up in Edmonton?
Mm-hmm. Nah, just coincidence, man. I mean, I've had a lot of battles with Jay Rose, man. Him being in Ottawa, we played against each other in two Grey Cups. Every time we played Ottawa, it was always close games, tough matchups. So, I mean, if you play in the league, the type of player he is. So, what he brings to the table. It just happened to be coincidence that, things lined up. I talked to a lot of guys actually that's, on the street in my situation. Guys like Sean Lemon, those type of dudes where it's been said before. I think Rob Peterson show did it with Nick Lewis one time about making a 10th team with all the free agents that was on the street that wasn't on teams. And it would be a team that probably would compete for a Grey Cup, man. There's a lot of quality players that, ended up on the street for whatever reasons, that's, whatever reasons with their franchises or management, whatever those reasons are. But, man, there's always a lot of quality players on the street. So, I mean, I always tell people when they ask about the CFL, like, what it's like. And I'm like, I mean, to be honest, it's probably just as tough, even tougher to crack, crack a CFL roster as the NFL just because you got other stuff to compete with, like ratios and all that stuff. So,
And then the talent pool is kind of big too. Now we got some real talent out here.
Right. Right.
Yep. Jonathan, I want to ask you too about your departure from Ottawa. Because the last time we had spoke, you said that there was some mutual interest in coming back to Ottawa. What changed, or what did Edmonton do to make you want to go there?
Business, man. So opportunity. They made the team look good. Everybody that's there, feel like I can win with. And then just new faces, fresh start. So that's kind of how I do my business when it comes to playing. You want to play comfortable. You see, Derek was at his Calgary Stampeders, and we always met in the big games. I ain't never seen this man in nothing but big games. And I see big-time playmakers around me, so I can kind of make that work. And then, like, Trevor, people I played with already. So, you know, how that goes. Just the fundamentals and the key pieces of the game just made sense. And like I said, me and Ottawa had our time. Everybody had their time everywhere. I feel like you got to keep putting your pieces together. My little legacy is I'm trying to win championships, man. That's what I'm about.
Right. And the last time we talked to you, you and Sherrod were still living together. How how's your relationship with Sherrod now that you guys are not on the same team?
Oh, man, we're still good, man. We probably earlier 2020 stopped living together. And we just started vibing, just trying to catch different ways when we were moving in life. It was cool. That was my dog. And made waves in the city as we played as teammates. But we always tight. Everybody going to stay cool with their people. And we got a bond. And like I said, I'm going to keep in touch with my man. He already balling. He signed up with Ottawa. He's going to keep his thing going, and we're going to forever be cool. And that's how we keep it moving on that note.
And I guess for both of you as well, Edmonton loves to bring in the big name guys, right? Mm-hmm. Last year was Trevor Harris, Greg Ellingson. This year it's you two and Darrell Walker. How excited are you both to get on the field with some of the bigger names in the league and you know, go after another great cup?
Winners, dog. I love being surrounded by winners. That man right there, a winner. I want to consider myself a winner, and just the small amount of time that people can do it. Like, you ain't got time to. It's a game. You gotta get it right now. If you don't get it right now, you might not get a chance to get it. So I want to get it with these guys, and we still got it, and everybody's still in they prime. And what a better year than the year we all coming off of 2020. So I just want to go in and catch this while it's good. And I feel like this might be a good little team to run something with.
Yeah, for sure. At least from my perspective, man, just from the outside looking in, being a Stampeder and always playing in those Labor Day games against Edmonton, I always knew what type of tough team it was, man. It's always close battles. Even like J. Rose said, playing Ottawa and all those times and championships and building relationships with a lot of guys on other teams. I mean, as a player, you know, man, you know who the dogs are, you know who the players are, you know who the guys that, you know, naturally, you know, game respect game. So that's just how it goes. So when you cross paths with these people and you build those relationships, whether you're on the same team or not, man, I mean, a lot of people be surprised. A lot of guys in the league, regardless of whether they're on the same team or not, man, guys build relationships. I mean, whether it be, you know, whether it be a competition type of thing where, you know, every time I play you, we're gonna give it our all and then leave it on the field, or whether it be play with them in the past, or maybe you cross paths with guys, you know, in the past. Like I built a relationship with Greg Ellingson because, you know, we did a NFL workout after 2016, after the Grey Cup, you know, him, you know, Deontay Spencer. I built relationships with those guys. So when they came back to the league and they were still in Ottawa, we're still, you know, keep in touch. You know, I did a workout with D-Walk. So I got a relationship with D-Walk. So it's just guys that when you cross paths, especially in the game of football, people don't realize, like, it's a small world in football, man. Regardless of what league you're in, you're going to cross paths with a whole lot of people. So it's all about building those relationships and, you know, understanding guys and understanding what they do best. And when you get a chance to play together, it's just figuring out if you can make it gel, if you can make it work.
Right. I also want to ask you guys about how this offseason was different from normal, not only just because you would have been doing your negotiations through Zoom and stuff like that, I assume, but also because you guys weren't on the field last year. And Jonathan, you missed the most of the 2019 season. Was there anything like massively different, or did everything just kind of work as normal?
No, you just was out of job. You just didn't work that year. And that's kind of what it is. Like, for everybody, you just didn't really work a job that year. You did whatever you secondarily do. because that was like most guys' primary. For me, that's just what I do. So you came to your secondary jobs, and then you just did what maintained, because this was just a weird year. This wasn't just no regular football got laid off, like regular jobs got laid off, and a pandemic lockdown happened, and I stayed in Canada for all of this. So I was, I don't know where Derek at, but I had different regulations. So it was just one of them years where you maintain. So football wasn't even a thought. Once they canceled, it was just canceled. We didn't, it wasn't really a forethought after that. You just had to maintain through it to get back to this point where we at now.
Right, right. I mean, for me, man, I was, last time I played, I touched the football field was March of 2020, because I finished playing. I was in the XFL. So when that got shut down, I was kind of – I kind of seen everything from the jump. So
yeah.
I was playing ball when pandemic hit and everything got shut down, got canceled, and then kind of just went home and thinking, you know, waiting to see what the CFL was going to do. And then when I found out that was going to get canceled, it was just more of like a just finding ways to just work out. Like Rose said, everybody's situation is different. For me, I had just had a – my daughter last spring in April. So I'm not April, May. So for me, my mindset was, you know, I had to, you know, stay on my P's and Q's to take care of my family and all that. So I wasn't really banking too much on football, because at that time I was a free agent after the XFL got shut down. So my mindset was more just, I was still working out, I was training, but it was more like, you know, gyms were shut down. When I had got, you know, I was in New York in XFL, so I was there when New York got shut down. So I was in lockdown, and then I had to wait till things kind of eased up to get up out of there. And I got here in time for my daughter's birth, and then Phoenix went on. I live in Phoenix, Arizona, so then Arizona went on lockdown. So then I was in lockdown with a newborn, and then, you know, things opened up a little bit. And then when they opened up, that's when the numbers spiking and went back into, you know, lockdown. But, I mean, for me, I think out here in Phoenix, everything is open, but I got to be cautious of how I move, because, you know, I got infant kids, you know, I got my girl, you know, I'm around her mother a lot. Her mother's a, you know, older person up in age. So you got to be careful with, you know, how you expose yourself to different environments. So that's really just trying to figure out ways to just work out at home. Or beautiful thing about living in Arizona is that it's a lot of, broke my chain right there. It's a lot of, it's a lot of open fields, a lot of open space, and the weather's always nice. So that simple fact of just living in a place that always has good weather, I was still able to kind of go outside and hit football fields and do stuff like that. So, I mean, I know Rose is in Canada, so he probably had to deal with the winter and snow and not being able to go outside and stuff like that.
I killed it during the summer, though, G. In the summer, I was up there.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, it's all depending on everybody's situation. I started working actually from home, so I try to, you know, working 8-hour shifts, and then try to find ways of like 6-7 at night to get outside and get a workout in. But, you know, especially out here, Arizona, you got like wild coyotes and stuff that come out at night, so you got to be careful where you at. So it's just finding ways to make it work as best you can, man. It's been tough. I'm not gonna lie, it's been a challenging year. Not being able to, you know, have the proper resources that you normally have to prepare yourself to get ready to play ball and stuff like that. But, I mean, if you play football long enough, man, you learn how to be solution-oriented and try to figure things out. So that's pretty much where everybody's at with it.
Can you guys isolate any positives? Like, is this going to help you the year off? Is that going to help you have a longer career or anything like that?
I think it does the body well.
Okay. I was going to say it's two different negatives, because like you said, it do the body well, but you get older. Like in this game, they looking at your numbers too. So you lose a year on age, but like I said, sometimes it matters, sometimes it don't.
Yeah, I think for me, like at least the past 2 years, I've been playing. I played 2018, 2019 with injuries and having to get season-ending injuries after the season was over. So, for me, having a chance to, you know, get a little break that I normally don't get, get a chance to let my body just relax. And because normally that's, as a football player, you spend all season beating your body up, and then off-season is when you spend time to, you know, get your body right, make it feel good, just to get ready to go beat it up again. So, I think regardless, I think the age thing is definitely a big thing in pro sports, but I think the year off, especially now with circumstances, everybody's kind of like a little asterisk next to everybody that kind of gives you the benefit of the doubt. And if you look at CFL rosters, man, I mean, they're full of guys who are, you know, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, yeah. even 37. You know, you got guys like Chris Van Zyl who's still playing at the age of 37, 38. Charleston Hughes still playing at the age of 37, 38. So these are guys who have been doing it for a long time. And, you know, if as a vet, as you get older in the game and you get seasoned, you start learning how to work smarter and not harder. And that's essentially the key to having a long lasting career is knowing how your body works, knowing how to keep yourself right. And just knowing how to make the system work for you.
37 is old enough to check yourself into the retirement home in football terms.
Man, 37 is coaches. I mean, those are guys who are now getting coached by guys that they played against. So, I mean, when you get up there to the point, I mean, even for me, like I played with Josh Bell when I first got into CFL, and he ended up becoming the coach. You know, yeah. Guys like Brett Monson, me and Brett Monson is around the same age. I mean, I'm 32. I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm 32 years old. So it's just when like I said, when you're in the game of football and you're around enough people, man, it gets to that point.
Derek, we got a writing question for you here. Just wondering if you're surprised that Vince McMahon gave up the XFL so fast, put it into bankruptcy, especially considering we saw the NFL play through the pandemic. Do you think that he could have maybe held on to that, still had the XFL going now, or was it like something?
Probably could have, but Vince McMahon, first and foremost, is a businessman. And if you're a businessman, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. So the pandemic hitting and it being having the ability to looking at not really sure how the pandemic was going to go, how much money was he going to lose by holding on to the league and waiting to figure out things? How much money was he going to have to spend? I mean, that's some of the same thing the CFL's had to experience. That's why the season was canceled, I think, because the owners just looked at it like, you know what, even though we are going to lose money, it's probably not going to be as much as if we try to play through the pandemic and having to pay for, you know, bubble environments and, you know, testing and COVID, you know, vaccination. All that stuff is expensive. That's money. Like, that's not free. So, you got to take into consideration, like, as a businessman, you know, what's going to be my profit, you know, my profit margin, what's going to be the, especially for leagues like the CFL, same thing with XFL, the profit is fans, the people being in the stands, people being able to attend the games and buy merchandise and all that type of stuff. So when you lose your biggest piece of income, you know, it's kind of hard to look at other means and say, you know, that's, you know, it's kind of hard to look at those means and be like, okay, does it make sense to do that? I think now it's getting to that point where you're gonna have to play to kind of keep everything alive, because the more you kind of wait for things to get better, I think that's why you've seen Randy Ambrosi come out with that statement today. It's more like it's at that point now where you got to do it. You got to figure out a way to get it done, especially with watching all these bigger leagues, you know, pretty much work their way through it. I mean, it's inevitable that, you know, COVID is one of those things that it's inevitable. Like, if you're going to play through it, you're going to have situations that's going to, you know, it's going to be some adversity to go through. You see it now with the NBA, like, you know, with the Memphis Grizzlies talking about, they may even just take them off the schedule because they having COVID issues. You know, it's just one of those things, man. You gotta bank on people, you know, having the mindset to do the right thing. And we know as a society, man, everybody don't always do the right thing. So that's just what it is.
It's been so much going on, man. It's hard to understand why one country do sports, one country don't do sports. What's this? What's that? It's just a lot going on, and then you just got to survive day to day.
Right. Well, I know guys who play sports in like foreign countries. Mm-hmm. I got cousins and friends who play pro basketball in overseas. And
I got some homies in Europe.
Yeah. So the thing is that with them is those other countries, I think what they did different than what we doing over here on the western side of the world is they actually went in like full lockdowns. Like, nobody was allowed to go outside for a month or more. Places like Australia, who's like back to normal now, like their economy is normal. Like, you see celebrities moving to Australia because people are outside, they're not wearing masks, because those are places that went on like a 2 month lockdown where even essential stuff, it was like, you know, get what you get. We shutting everything down. No one's going back outside for 2 months. And that's kind of what seems like needs to be done, but the way, you know, U.S. society and Canadian society, it's tough for people to want to stay home for that long. So,
And both of you signed contracts in the CFL this year. Obviously, do you guys have confidence that the CFL's coming back? Did that play any role into you signing, or did you just decide to sign to have a deal in place if the league does come back?
I'm just in a progressive mindset, so I'm to get something going, you have to be progressive. So I'm into it. They say we making it happen. I'm down. We making it happen. So I'm doing my part to make it happen.
Yeah, that's where it's at for me, man. It's I don't really know what's gonna happen. I don't know how it's gonna play out, but in my mindset, it's just I just wanted to have a chance to get back to playing football. Whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. You're gonna have to deal with it and deal with it then. It's just more like if they say they're gonna try to play, then all right, we just I get myself ready and we'll see what happens.
Hey, it sounds promising, right? The NHL's back playing in what would likely be a similar situation for the CFL. Seems like it could work. The Blue Bombers GM or owner yesterday said that he's confident there's going to be fans in the stands too. So here's hoping we'll all be back on the field and, we'll get to finally throw a surfboard at Charleston Hughes, eh, Shane?
He's back into the – he's playing because I know he's a free agent, so we need to see where he lands. But, yeah, I mean, hey, if he's in Ottawa, if he's playing a game in Ottawa, I'm going to bring a surfboard. I'll get it through security. I don't care. And I'll toss it
Superman is a West Coast guy. I don't know if he too excited about playing in that East Division because he's been in the West his whole career. But, I mean, we'll see. It's going to be a lot of teams that could use a player like that. Now, the problem, I think the part now for him, especially with a guy like his stature, playing as long as he has, when you play as long as you have in Calgary, man, you've been taking discounts your whole career. So who knows if he still want to be in that realm of taking a discount or he want to get
making plays. Never stop making plays.
Never stop. I mean, that dude's a beast, man. Like just being around Charleston and being able to be around him, like he's one of the best dudes to be around in the locker room because he make the environment fun. He's a fun dude to hang around. But he like one of those guys, every time he touch that field, regardless of what's going on, he gonna show up. So,
yes, sir.
A quick question, because I made note that I'm gonna grab both of your jerseys whenever Edmonton figures out what they're doing for them this year. Have you guys figured out what numbers you guys are gonna wear? Or are you guys gonna stick with your 9 and 63? Or are we gonna expect something new from you guys?
Bro, you can't switch it up, man. Big 6'3" always coming through.
Probably sticking with the 9 piece, man, just to make sure I feel comfortable even in the jersey. It's just something about that number. That number gives you that confidence.
Yeah. As a player, man, once you get that, especially as a pro, your number is your number. That's your identity. So you don't want to switch it up too much. You want to stick with what people know you as. I've been wearing 63 since college, really. I think actually I had it in high school too. So that's been my number forever. So, 100%. If I got a chance to get 6'3", that's what I'm gonna get.
I had one here. I think I've lost it. Impromptu one that I had. If given the option, Derek, and for you as well, Jonathan, if you had the option to go up against the best player opposite you every night, so Charleston Hughes, Willie Jefferson for you, Derek, or we can throw Eric Rogers in there just because he may or may not still be here. Would you rather go up against that best player every single night just to see what you can do, or would you like to avoid them a little bit?
Of course. Who wants to – that's part of being a competitor. As a competitor, you always want to go against the best because that's how you measure yourself and that's how you let people know, like, this who you consider the best is, and I'm going to show you what's up. Like, me, last year, I played Willie 3 times last season, and he ain't beat me once. That's defensive player of the year right there. So, for me, it's like if the person that's – deemed the best defender in the league can't beat me, then what I'm saying, what does that make me? That's how you got to look at it as a competitor.
Gotta be. I'm with you, pimp, when you talking. I'm with you when you right.
Yeah, that's just how it is, man. I honestly, in my opinion, I don't think anybody's better than me, and I'm not trying to say that in a bragging way. Like, I just feel like if you're an athlete, that's how you got to think. You got to think nobody can compete with you. Okay. Nobody is better than you. So every time I step on the field, that's how I always think. I don't think nobody can hang with me. Regardless of what league, man, I got into a Twitter bout with Frank Clark from Kansas City Chiefs. I'm telling him, like, even though I'm watching him play on TV, you would think, like, oh, he in the NFL. I'm telling him, like, bro, we can do 10 one-on-ones. I bet you you'd be lucky if you beat me once.
Just line them up, please.
That's it. I don't care who it is, man. It could be Aaron Donald. It could be whoever it is. I ain't going to never tell myself I can't compete with this dude.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you have to be, right? And, you know, we hear all the time, especially with Boomer Esiason there, who decided that he would say that you in the CFL, you could throw 50-50 jump balls up the middle of the field after Strevor threw an interception. I mean, it's about opportunity, right? Like Deontay Spencer
Boomer
went.
Boomer was just hating, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Different game, too, man. They don't understand the game up here. The game is crazy, though. But Strev had a different style of play for this game up here, man. I ain't going to lie, because he gave me some hard days. And the team, we played against hard days. I'm just saying, to adjust to that NFL league feel and do what they want him to do, you got to give him time to get back adjusted to that. But they ain't got nothing to do with talent. That's just, like, mindset of the game now, where this is, like, new definitions. You got more yardage here, so now you only got this much. You got to get that sense back.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize NFL gets, they like athletes. Like, they like guys who look good when they walk off the bus. They like, you know what I'm saying? You got to be cut up. You got to be ripped up. You got to run fast. Like, they don't really care if you know how to play the game, because in their mind, the NFL is, we could teach anybody how to play. We just can't teach athletes. So we want athletes. So Strebler's an athlete, man. That's a dude who can run fast. He can jump high. You know what I'm saying? He looked good. You know, a 6'2", 6'3", 240, 30-pound dude running a 4.4. I mean, you don't find those every day. So you gotta take into account that, you know, everybody knows Strebler wasn't the best quarterback in the CFL. Like, that's not a known secret. Like, he wasn't a starter. He wasn't a guy that was, you know, every play. He's a super talented football player. But, you know what I'm saying? There's guys who don't run as fast as him or jump as high as him, who just know how to play the game of football. I think that's the thing I feel like regular people don't understand, is that, you know, the best athletes don't always make the best football players. Like, being a football player is something totally different than being a really good athlete. So I think that's what gets misconstrued, especially with the NFL, is that those guys are really good athletes. They're like, some of those guys are elite athletes. They can run fast. They can jump high when they're in their T-shirt and underwear. But when you put that helmet and football pads on, then, you know, that's the true measure of a man, in my opinion. Like, that shows something. It get real different when you got to put the helmet and shoulder pads on.
Yeah, and I mean, we look around the CFL, guys you played with. Bo Levi Mitchell would work in the NFL. I'm pretty confident Henry Burris would have been pretty good if he was given an opportunity. Ricky Ray, Mike Riley, even Trevor Harris, I think, you know, could be better than a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL. It's opportunity. And I mean, we've been fighting that battle all the time in Canada, where people tell us that the football up here is garbage. Derek, you've come on this show like 4 times and told us that that's definitely not true.
Nah, yeah, that's not true. It's just what it is, especially being in America. It's like, I'm going to be real with you. I had no clue about the CFL until I knew some people who played in the CFL. You know what I'm saying? You know, I had to do some research before I came to CFL. And it was, I ain't going to lie, the first couple of years of my pro career, when I was off and on practice squads in NFL and, you know, people would be like, oh, why don't you go play in Canada? And I'm like, Canada? Like, what you mean go play in Canada? Like, nah, man, I'm going to make some try to get on in the NFL. Like, that's how it is as an American when you grow up. Like, you just program to think like that. We don't look at other football leagues. We don't look at, you know, other places to play. To us, it's NFL or bust. Like, that's the only thing we know. So when you try to hear about other leagues and other, you know, other places to play, it's kind of thrown off. I'm like, me, I played in every football league there is to imagine. Like, it ain't a football league in North America I ain't touched yet. So for me, it's always been competition, having the chance to play once I got to that point of being a pro athlete. But I mean, it's the American way, man. They don't look at nothing else. I think if there was a way to expose more Americans to the CFL, I think the love of it would be immense. And I think a lot of stuff, too, to deal with the CFL, I think it has to do with, like, homegrown support. Because, like, I mean, just for example, you could use something like the Chinese Basketball League. They paying dudes millions of dollars out there, even though, you know, in America, nobody watching Chinese basketball, but it's because they people support it so much that they sell out all their games and people, you know, really are into it. You know, the Chinese people are into it. It's like they build their own economy for it. So I feel like the CFL is one of those things where, yeah, you got players from different places, but they don't bank on those players from other places helping to build the economy. They build the economy from within. You know, if Canadian people packed all stadiums, then the CFL would, you know what I'm saying, probably wouldn't even need to cancel the season, because they would have had enough money to thrive and do whatever, you know, just the same way any other league is doing. So I think that's probably the biggest thing I've always said with the CFL, is just finding ways to market and build homegrown talent, man. I mean, homegrown support. Like, that's really the answer to everything.
So we got a couple of write-ins here. My my father here has a couple of a thought that's pretty popular around our nation here. You will be missed in Ottawa, Jonathan, but I mean, we couldn't be more excited to see you back on the field. And as well, for Derek Dennis, Colin asks if John Huffnagel just uses the Grey Cup bonus and just expects to be there every year, and he uses it to make you take a discount.
I don't know if I should answer that question. Honestly, if I was a team that consistently was in the playoffs and playing for Grey Cups every year, I would use that as a selling point doing contracts. I mean, that's smart business. Say, no, all right, I'm not going to pay you, you know, $20,000 because you're going to have a chance to make it every year playing for a championship. So, I mean that's seems like smart business to use. I seem like a smart business model to use. I mean, if it's the age old adage, man, if it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Right. I want to go back to the field here, looking at assuming we have a season, we get back on the field. The West looks really, really good this year with Calgary, obviously being Calgary. Saskatchewan was pretty solid last year. BC's got Mike Riley, and Winnipeg just won a Grey Cup. And then you guys, of course, what has to be done to come out on top of a division that has five teams that realistically could finish in that number one spot?
Win?
Early.
Win early. We're early and often.
Yes. The back end, it always comes in the back end. I always say that you'll get everything you're supposed to get in the back end, but if you don't get nothing early, you'll never catch up.
Yeah, I think. I mean, that's how it was in 2019, man. It was, like you got to take care of business, and the thing too, especially with the West, is that what came down to the race is not just those West on West matchups, but those West versus East matchups. Like you gotta take those games serious too, and win those games because those help you, you know, down the line. I think what came down to that race with us and Sass in 19 was just the simple fact that we had beat them twice. So I think that first game we played them when Bo was hurt and we had Arbuckle at quarterback, that was a big win because that kind of helped, you know, bring it down. A lot of people was doubting us for winning that game because Bo wasn't playing. So, I mean, that's the reason why Nick ended up in Ottawa and got that, you know what I'm saying, got that big contract. Don't know what's going on with that. We're going to see in a week or two.
We're going to find out pretty quick.
We're going to find out pretty soon. But, yeah, man, I mean, that's just what it is, man. You gotta win. You got to win when you're supposed to win. And you got to, you know, roll with those punches, man.
Right. And, I mean, I don't have your schedule in front of me, but I believe it's modified this year, right? So I think you guys are going to play Calgary four times.
I think it's more division matchups than it is cross division matchups, just because of COVID and trying to limit travel. So I'll take it because that means if you win a division, you earned it that time because you basically beat everybody that you were supposed to beat as many times as you need to. I mean, honestly, in pro football, regardless of how many teams are in a league, it's hard to beat the same opponent multiple times, man. So when you got a chance to do it and you do it well, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, that's what happened to us, man. We played Winnipeg four times last year, and it was the fourth time we played them that they finally, you know, they finally caught us.
You got to keep playing the top dog until that one time when you got
that
win.
One time. Yeah, that's really what it comes down to, man. Like with Toronto in 2017. I mean, nobody expected Toronto to win the Grey Cup, but with football, especially in building chemistry, man, it's at the end of the year when you get hot. That's the teams who go on to win it. The teams who get hot late in the year. So, when you got a chance to win games early, do it. But I mean, the important time is to win games late too. So, especially with a long season like how we got in the CFL with 18 games, and you're gonna play teams more than two, three times. So, it's all about who get hot when the weather get cold and you know the body gets sore. It's about the teams who still know how to execute when that stuff happens. That's the teams who win championships.
That's when it get real. But I'm telling you, get you about five early. I'm telling you, when it get real and everybody else panicking, it's gonna be cruise control a little bit. Yeah. I can play my hand better when I feel like people trying to play catch up.
Hey, that's the truth though. That's true. I know what that's like because we did it all the time in Calgary. It was like we took care of business early, and then when we got late in the year. We like, man, listen. If we take this L, it ain't really going to change much. We just try and get our bodies right. So When it counts,
them games get so important. They just throw it up there. J. Rose come out of nowhere, good picks. Good picks every time. They just get the panicking. They get the panic and throw it up there every time.
Hey, funny. The funniest thing was a side note story, but 2018 yeah. Grey Cup. When Kyrie got so bad because J. Rose was dapping everybody up like, hey, man, hey, I give it to y'all. I give it to y'all, man. Y'all did y'all thing. Kyrie's like, hey, man, don't dap nobody up, man. The game ain't over. He looking at him like, bro, hey, man, they got hot, it, bro. I give it to him.
Yeah, bro. I was hot, though. I was hot, man. That one was personal. I was like, dang, I did all this. I came all this way, and they still got it. And the conditions are horrible.
Yeah, we won't talk about the field. I heard we heard from Antoine Pruno at a team sale in the dressing room that the field conditions were not too fun. But
it was horrible. We knew all week though. We knew all week that it was gonna be back. We went out there one day during the week before the game to practice, and it was literally like skating. It was skating. It didn't matter what you put on your feet. It didn't matter if it was Cadillacs or cleats or everything was sliding. You had no grip. I mean, you see from the first play of the game, what's his name? JR Tavai bull rushed me, and I'm like, I'm just sliding. I couldn't even stop him. I'm just going with the flow.
And then he slid into the sack, clear right there. I was like, this is gonna be crazy.
Yeah, what are you sticking in the bottom of them Jordans to stay upright, Derek, when it gets cold in Edmonton?
Man, honestly, I'm one of those dudes, man. Like, I'm so programmed from college. Like, I used to be the ultra. Like, you know, I'm always the big dude. Everybody say I dress like a skill player. I dress like a wide receiver. Yeah. I dress like a DB. You know what I'm saying? So, in college, I used to get in trouble because when it was cold, I was coming out lay it up. You know what I'm saying? I had sleeves on. I had tights on. You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, I need to stay warm because I grew up playing basketball my whole life. I grew up indoors. I didn't really play football. So for me, being outdoors in the cold was kind of this ain't my cup of tea, boy. So, so now I'm so programmed from college to like just be raw that I literally come out there like I might have one thin layer pair of socks on. I ain't got no undershirt. You know what I'm saying? Straight, raw. No tape, no nothing. Like I'm so hardcore now that. You know what I'm saying? I probably would have punched the ground and thought nothing of it. So that's just like me. Like I don't really the elements don't faze me no more. Like to me, once the whistle blow and you put the ball down, I don't really care about what's going on around me. We still gonna find a way to rock out.
He ain't lying. If you play out here in some of these conditions, bro, it just gets savage. You can come out there about anything.
Anything. You just try to make sure you're comfortable. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, when you get laid up like that, especially with that big field in the CFL and having to do all that running and people you got to run around, it's like, yeah, you can come out there laid up and protected, but man, if them layers get tight or get cold, you sweating and it freeze up, you putting yourself in actually a worse position. So for me, I'm gonna thug it out until I can get in the locker room and I can jump in that hot tub and just let everything, all the feeling, come back.
So we should expect Edmonton to be the most drip team out of any of the teams in the CFL with you two on the sidelines.
I come with natural drip, so I don't even do all the extra.
Yeah. Now me, I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I got to make sure my cleats is comfortable. That's actually why I wear Jordans, because Jordans is actually, they super comfy in terms of me having a big foot.
I have a pair.
Yeah, for sure. So me, I'm gonna have a pair for every uniform. That's just how, cause that's a New Yorker in me. I don't know how not to match. I don't know how not to keep my, you know what I'm saying? I gotta step at 24/7. So that's just how it's gonna be.
It's a character that come with this game, man. It's a little bit of a character that come with
it. Yeah, facts, man. I mean, Deion Sanders said it, man. You look good. You look good. You feel good. You play good.
Mm-hmm.
Gold girls coming back for you, Jonathan.
Say it again.
Are the gold girls coming back?
Oh yeah, 100%. Y'all, you know, I gotta vibe, gotta be myself. You ain't got those. You don't even feel comfortable. It's gonna take some time though. I don't just jump straight into the grills. They just pop out. You just see me one day walking through the locker room. You like, dang, bro, got the grills out now. It's just a feeling, man. It come with the like I said, the character with the swag.
Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is.
So just a couple more before we let you guys get going. We really appreciate you coming on, having a chat. And I mean, for me, just talking about football again gets me you know, excited. I can feel it in the pit of my stomach that I'm getting excited at this point because it's starting to become a little bit more real and like you, I can start to visualize us actually getting back onto the field. Is that the same thing for you guys? Like, do you get excited thinking about this, or are you still kind of cautiously optimistic?
I mean, to be honest, I've been doing it so long, though, nothing excites me, man. It's just more of a when I get to it, I get to it. You know, it's like a switch for me. I know how to turn it off and on. So, for me, it's more just when I get back in the gym. You know, when I get in the gym, I turn it on. I get crazy, and then when I leave the gym, I turn it off. So, it's gonna be the same thing with football, man. When I finally get a chance to throw my cleats on,
it's like a routine almost.
Yeah, pretty much, man. It's a way of life now. It's natural, so. It's like, man, it's just like waking up and brushing your teeth, so, or riding a bike. It just come natural.
Anything else from you, Shane?
No, I mean, I'm just excited to get back on the field. I'm excited to watch, like, get CFL back on, and talk, like, listening to you guys talk. It's just, I'm excited for it. I'm gonna need to figure out where you get your Jordan cleats because there's no way up here up north that I can find them. So,
you know what it is? It's the sites because Canada, you know, Nike got their own Canada site, and you know, East Bay got their own Canada site, and they limit the amount of stuff that they put on those sites. So, it's like I buy all my stuff before I leave because that's how I know I'm gonna get it. Because when I get up north and I try to search for it, you know, the sites they don't let me go to the American sites to get it. So, what I do is if I need something while I'm up there, I either get it on the bye week. Or I just have my girl buy it and send it to me. You know what I'm saying? I find ways to get to it. So, but let me know. Let me know what size you wear. You know, after we get off the show, if I got a pair, you know what I'm saying? I'll throw some your way.
That'd be hype, yeah. Because I've heard nothing but good things about Jordan cleats, and they just look great on foot. So it's just something I've been like, been trying to find. They comfy,
man. Whatever you heard about them, they don't make you play no better. You better be nice.
Like Mike, shoes. It's not like Mike. They don't put them on. But they all comfy though. Like they probably the most comfortable football cleat on the market right now. So you start to see a lot of guys wear them too because, I mean, one. They help with the swag. They help with the drip. If you wear them right. Because my biggest pet peeve is I hate seeing dudes with them on and they spat them up. Because it's like, what's the point of getting them?
You can't put it together. Yeah, if you can't put it together, bro, you might as well not be involved.
Yeah, you might as well not wear them, man. Like, don't treat them like they some regular Nike Vapors or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Put the team issue on if you're going to spat up. Don't try to get the drip and then you cover the drip up because then there's no point in having it. Nobody know you got it, so.
Yes, sir.
That's part of the reason why I don't wear tape no more. I mean, I don't really need it. You know what I'm saying? I don't really need nothing. But that's just what it is, man. If I'm a drip, I'm a drip. I ain't gonna drown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Shane, we got to get you one of those holders that like spins the shoe. You can stick them behind you.
No, I got my knee braces. I'm good. I don't need anything else.
You still wear knee braces?
Yeah, so beginning of right before grade 9, I took a football helmet to the side of the knee, and I was playing on one of the worst fields in Ottawa. It was basically just like a layer of like, it wasn't even turf. It was just felt like you were playing on green spray painted pavement. And
that was a breakup. We was out there on the solid ice, got pavement.
Yeah, so I got a football helmet to the knee. My foot got caught, tore my ACL, but the doctors didn't diagnose that. I played 2 years of football without an ACL before someone realized that it was just completely gone. So ever since then, they've been like, you need to wear a brace, and they're like, you should get another one for your left knee just as like a precautionary thing. So I got one, and I'm like, I'm going to need to get another one for this season.
See, the thing with me is I stopped wearing knee braces because I actually tore my knee in them. So I couldn't wear them. So for me, that's how, you know what I'm saying? That's how I gauge my athletic ability is I was so much of an athlete that wearing knee braces kind of messed me up, kind of stagnated my movement. I couldn't go the way I wanted to. And I remember my junior year of college, because they made it mandatory in college that you had to wear knee braces. I blew out my knee first day of training camp. Doing one-on-ones. And then after that day, when I got to the league, first, like one of the teams I lose, the Patriots. Patriots was like old school, like college. Belichick running like college. So he was like, everybody had to wear knee braces in practice. But when you got to the games, they let you decide if you wanted to wear them or not. But sometimes they like to have the linemen wear them because they just didn't want, they wanted to mitigate injuries. They didn't want to have to deal with linemen getting hurt and bringing other people in. So every, the first chance I got, when somebody first told me, like, yo, why you wearing those? You could take those off. And I took them off. I was like, oh, yeah, never again. I'm never wearing these again. That's why I don't wear linemen. That's why I don't wear linemen cleats, because linemen cleats are too heavy. They make your feet feel like, you know what I'm saying, like you can't pick them up or move them. And I was like, that was a double negative for me. So wearing knee braces, and you want me to wear heavy boots too? Like, nah, let me get those vapors. My knee braces off. Let me get those vapors real quick so I can get jiggy.
never been in a position to have to wear them or the knee braces, but it looked like it ain't going. Everybody I see in them, they ain't making no noise. They making a lot of noise because they squeaking, but they ain't going nowhere fast.
Yeah,
that's my thing, man. Today's football, it requires all football players to be athletes, even linemen. So I don't want to hear nothing about linemen, you know, not having to be athletic. Like, you to play line in today's football, you got to be an athlete, bro. So the things that limit you from having movement and being able to do the things like now they're starting to come out with all these studies that your body naturally, like if your foot turns in and your knee turns in, that's a natural body movement. Like that's the way your body's supposed to move. So all the stuff they used to do. Yeah, all the stuff they used to teach us about having everything straight and linear and in straight line and all that, like that stuff, they was really messing us up. So, I mean, now it's the way science is catered to, man. You got to go be an athlete. If you're an athlete, go be an athlete, man, regardless of what position you play, man. If you finesse, go be finesse. If you power, go be power. Then you got to do what you do.
All right, one last one before we let you guys go. And I'm going to phrase this in a way that you won't get in trouble for tampering. Once free agency starts, I think it's like February 8th or 11th or something like that, will you guys be talking to players that you're friends with or players that the team might have interest in to try to convince them to come to Edmonton with you?
Not on purpose. I mean, I do it naturally. If I speak to some of the homies that's free, I'll be like, hey, what's up, man? What you doing? You trying to pull up? You know what I'm saying? But again, too, everybody's situation different. So I ain't never going to tell nobody not to go get their money. So regardless of how much I want to play with somebody, you know, they got to do what they do. I mean, I ain't really my job to really lobby for nobody. So
100%. So I'm just piggybacking on him. Yeah, that's business. So I'll promote what's over here and how we're going to get done our championship football type stuff. But then when it gets down to the business, you got to let a man be a man on what they want to do on that. But like I said, I like playing with certain guys. If we can make it happen, business and the team, we make it happen. If not, do what we do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my advice I would give anybody, because I've been through the free agency thing, I know what it's like. I mean, in the game of football, everything is not about the dollars. The dollars is important. Don't get me wrong. The dollars is important, but it's not all about the dollars. You want to go somewhere where it's going to fit your game. You know, you mesh well with whatever scheme it is. You mesh well with whatever, you know, coaches are there. You feel like it's a locker room that you're going to want to enjoy to be a part of. Because, I mean, I've been some places where the locker room ain't been fun. And it's hard to win because it's just you don't build that camaraderie. You know, you don't have that relationship with the coaches. You know what I'm saying? It's things going on that you don't agree with, whether it be how the scheme is run or what they're asking you to do and all that type of stuff. And I've been places where they let you be you. They let you, you know what I'm saying? They let you do what you do. They let you have fun. They let you be yourself. And it's just fun winning. You win a lot of games. You win championships. You win all that good stuff. So, I mean, my biggest advice to anybody going through that free agency thing is, you know what I'm saying, get your coins, brother. But make sure you're getting your coins in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Not only is that a fantastic answer, it also won't get you fined or in trouble for tampering. So there you go.
You're assuming that the league pays attention to us right now. So I think
hey, listen, don't be surprised.
They'll find anything, bro.
They'll find anything. Any league, they're gonna find any reason. They get some coins back, they're gonna get their coins back.
Yeah. That's true.
Especially during a pandemic where they're making no money.
Yeah, but I mean that'd be such a bad look on the league right now. Oh, you're not making any money. You know, it would be such a petty reason to find somebody.
Hey, it's precedent. It's precedent, man. You got it. Once you set a precedent, you got to keep it that way. You know what I'm saying? In my personal opinion, I wish the league would get a little more lighter on, like, dress code violations and stuff. Like, stuff I feel like is it kind of lets the player personality shine, and it helps, you know, build a fan base. So like with me wearing colored the mirror visors and stuff, like I feel like that's something they should ease up on, because that's stuff that fans like to see. That's stuff that fans enjoy. Like I get a lot of people who enjoy, you know, seeing that, or you know, just let players be themselves. I think that's what makes the CFL special, is that fans have access to guys, and guys have the ability to be themselves and kind of build some notoriety for the league and build that image. So I think they should ease up on that. But in terms of anything else, I mean, if they need some pointers. If they need some pointers with something, you got a marketing job, holler at me. But other than that, I'm gonna keep my two cents to myself, because I got in trouble in the past with being a little too vocal on Twitter. So now I'm keeping my two cents to myself.
Man, I just, Banks too.
I just got into this. I don't even want to get nobody upset. So I'm gonna keep being a team player. But like you said, I still want my individuality. So I want to still be able to be myself. And like you said, the grills pop out, and I don't want it to be a problem, because I ain't doing nothing to mess up anything we got going. It's just me.
Yep. All right. Unless Shane has anything else.
Here's my question to y'all real quick.
Yeah.
Here's my question to y'all real quick. Who do y'all want to see come to the Ottawa Redblacks?
If I had a choice of anybody that I could have that's currently a free agent, I have a Greg Ellingson jersey, so I'll take him back.
They should have always had a G spot, man. I'm telling you, but G, that's my dog.
See, honestly, I'm a person to the lineman, so, you know, you, Washington, all these linemen that were going to hit free agency. It's like, ah, yo, any of these guys I'm hyped with right now, though? Honestly, I'm not sure.
All right, so if you base it off of the current free agent pool, guys that are available, if you were the GM, who would you go after?
Charleston Hughes.
Cam Judge is another one. I take him.
Cam Judge, too. If he's still available, I don't think he has, but if he's still available, him or Hughes would be my two goats on the defense, not going to lie.
Solid pick. Y'all smart, though.
He's trying to make your life a living hell, Derek.
I'm trying to think about it as a business standpoint. You got to have a solid foundation somewhere. With teams out here in the CFL, you better be solid one way or the other. Don't be wavery on both sides. It'll get ugly.
It'll get ugly real quick, man. Trust me. Especially now, I think that's what is appealing to a lot of teams, with getting some veterans, because the next season, I mean, if you're relying on rookies or guys with not a lot of experience, I mean, that's tough sledding in pro football. I mean, I don't care who your coach is. I don't care where your team is at. You know, I don't care what you're offering. I mean, playing with rookies and playing with inexperienced players, it don't make for a good product. So
I like Colin's suggestion here, too, of Servants and Rogers. I mean, that would be a nice one to have.
Hey, Servi, solid, and he know the Ottawa area well, man. He should have never left in the first place, in my opinion. But
hey, you guys might end up being teammates, though. We still don't know what's going on there. So,
yeah, man. Listen, I stay out of it, man. If we do, I've talked to Sir. Like, I got a good relationship with Servi. He's a solid dude, solid player. I know he gonna bounce back. I know he ain't get a chance to play because of injuries, or whatever. So I know he itching at the bit. So whoever do get him, they gonna get a dog.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we will talk to you guys again at some point. Derek, you're basically a host of this show at this point. Jonathan, you're making your way there. So
hey, I want to know how y'all did this live thing. I like this, though. I need to do this for my podcast, man. I'm gonna have to holler at y'all when we get off of this.
Yeah, for sure, man. Never updated if it wasn't for you, man. Appreciate you. I would love.
Hey, you guys are in Ottawa August 28th. We're gonna have to do like an actual live show, like do a sit down roundtable kind of thing when you guys are in Ottawa.
When I pull back up here for the first time, bro, please, y'all gotta break out all the popcorn y'all got in the building.
I already know. I ain't even listen. You know me, that's how I feel the first time we hit Labor Day.
Football, y'all. This is all the game of football. This ain't got nothing to do with
this. Ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It's all the game of football. That's how I feel like when first time we go to Calgary. Now, that first Labor Day matchup,
A lot of football been played around here, Pimp.
Hey, you know, Jonathan, that'll be Trevor Harris's return to Ottawa as well. So that's one that's circled on our calendars as well.
Gonna be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do like a hot wings kind of roundtable. Have some food, talk football.
The last time I did an eating contest with a podcast, it didn't turn out too well for me, man. So I'm staying away
from the hot wing challenge. What you did?
I did the at Grey Cup last year. The 2019. Yeah. I did it with a couple dudes who are Ryder fans. They got their own podcast. I'm drawing blanks. My apologies if they listen. I'm drawing blanks. But we did a brisket eating contest at the barbecue spot. And it actually worked out because the spot was right next to the apartment I was staying in. So all I did was walk downstairs, walk across the street. Did a brisket eating competition. But they jipped me, though, because the place knew I was coming. And they knew I was a regular because I was eating there because I lived next door. So what they did was... I mean, they set it up for me to take the L, which is cool. I ain't mad. Listen, it's get the fans going. They're excited. They loaded my plate. It was supposed to be, I think, a pound of brisket. Who could eat the most in a time limit with a pound of brisket. They really put about 3 pounds of brisket on my joint and try to make it look like it was only a pound. So my boy was over there crushing the brisket. I'm over here struggling. I'm pulling out big chunks, like, you know what I'm saying? Big chunks. They was like this big. And I'm like, yo, I'm supposed to eat this in 30 seconds. Like, y'all set me up.
You're giving us ideas, Derek. I'm going to be honest with you.
Hey, man, listen. At this point, I mean, I'm big into media. I'm a big rep. I went to school for this, honestly. So I went to school for broadcast journalism and all that, so I'm into it heavy. You see my headphones. I don't just game. I do my own podcast. I do all that. So, I got ideas. I got ideas to bring in fans. I got ideas to do some stuff. So if y'all ever need some material, I'll let you Benoy. All right.
Oh, bro, you already know. When we get back to regular life and we can collab. Collabs happen. I'm a better people's person when I'm around people, man. Like this new networking through the computers has been kind of funny lately.
It's tough. I ain't gonna hold you. We could probably get a nice. I mean, I got a nice little players podcast going right now. I'm always open to doing some more with it. So
okay.
I mean, whenever anybody want to collab, you know, I'm always game.
Perfect. Yeah, and like we said, August what, 25th? I think you said
28th. August 28th. Yeah, literally the minute.
Life is normal. Ain't no COVID regulations. They letting everybody outside. Side note, I will be getting my vaccination just to be safe. So, I mean, everybody do their part. Follow safety guidelines. You know what I'm saying? You know, stay 6 feet apart. Wear your mask. Let's do our part to get things right so we can get back outside and start enjoying the things we love to do.
100%.
Yeah. Gotta believe it. We'll be back to normal. We'll get something done. Get something in person.
This is dope, don't we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on, guys. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it, fellas. Appreciate it, fellas. All right, J-Rose.
It was a pleasure.
All right, man. I'll holler at you soon, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Y'all take it easy.
Have a good night, guys.
Yeah. All right, well, there you have it. Fantastic episode with two newest members of your Edmonton football team. Derek Dennis and Jonathan Rose, always a pleasure having both of them on. And again, hopefully we'll have them on before the season starts. Obviously, maybe have a camp update from them. And then obviously when they're in Ottawa on the 28th, hopefully we'll be able to sit down with them and figure things out.
Oh, yeah. I got to be honest, man. Like, just even having the idea that CFL football is going to come back, it's fantastic. Like, we've been sitting here. We took the month off, thankfully. I think we really needed that. But before that, it was really doom and gloom about the CFL. I don't think there was any positive storylines coming out. It was, oh, this is free agency. This is when the season's supposed to start. It was kind of a, like, who really cares? Like, you can't even see it happening at that point. But now, you know, we've got vaccines. We're starting to maybe turn the corner, hopefully, if we can keep vaccinating people and our government can figure that stuff out. We won't even get into that, but
yeah, like, that's a completely different topic.
Yeah.
But I need to shoot Derek a message. Let him know about those cleat situations. I'd be tight. Not gonna lie.
Get some game use. Get him autographed too. What do you think?
Nah, I don't want him autographed. I'm gonna wear them.
Get him autographed. Get him spinning in the background.
Nah. But yeah, like having those guys on, fantastic as always. Hearing some of the stories are great. Getting to know them more on a personal level is always fantastic.
Yeah. Well, that's what we started the podcast for. We wanted to get to know guys on a more personal level. That's the fifth time we've talked to Derek Dennis. Like I said, the dude's becoming a host of the show at this point. And I think it's awesome that he's willing to come on with us this often. It's awesome insight. And, you know, do we want to drop who we might have, who we should have next week?
No, I think we'll drop it probably. Okay. Who should we have next week?
I told you about this, my man. Are we going to drop it right here? Because if I tell you, we're dropping it.
Honestly, I have no idea. I'm totally lost. I don't remember this.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to drop it. We are supposed to have Justin Dunk next week.
Right. Oh, my God. I've been so busy with everything else. I've totally blanked on who we were supposed to have. I'm also working on getting Juwan Breskis in on the show as well. And hopefully Eric Rogers, if you're still listening. Thanks for the follow on Twitter. I'm going to be shooting you a message. I'm going to shoot Derek Dennis a message as well about how, you know, the live thing was and whatnot. Yep. But, yeah.
And, I mean, free agency's coming up, so that's why we want to talk to Justin. We'll get hopefully some insight onto what's coming up, what the financial side of the league is looking like right now, what teams can spend. Hopefully by then we'll have an answer to the Nick Arbuckle situation and we can get some insight about what's going on there. Because if you haven't been keeping up, the Red Blacks are due to give Nick Arbuckle, I think it's, what, $250,000 bonus or something like that?
Yeah.
It's a large sum of money. I highly doubt he gets it anyway. Whether that means the Red Blacks and him come to an agreement on a renegotiated contract or if they just have to cut him. And I think that's a route they don't want to go. But I think it's also worth noting that they can go that road if they need to. And Jeremiah Mazzoli is going to become a free agent, and it looks like he's completely healthy again. So we might have another quarterback controversy here in Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. That'll be up for another episode as we've hit over the hour. It's been a pleasure being back and talking CFL football. We were talking about privately how excited we were to talk about it, and honestly, having these guys to kick off basically season two as we enter CFL free agency. Fantastic way to do it. And thank you everyone for joining in. Everyone who commented. Sorry we didn't get to everyone's questions or comments on the comments page, but we do appreciate the support. Remember, you can follow us on 13th Man Pod and Twitter, Facebook, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, 13th Man CFL Podcast. And we'll be posting more episodes, maybe do some little like behind the scenes stuff. And yeah, give Derek Dennis and Jonathan Rose a follow on social media. Check out Derek Dennis's podcast. It's been really good. I've checked out a couple of his episodes that he's released so far, and it was pretty good.
Yeah. And, you know, I think as we start to get closer to the season here, we'll have more players on. We'll have more coaches. Hopefully, I think we're going to try to get to some coaches at some point as well. Really, it's, you know, we took our month off and we're ready to go. Season mode. This should be the first year that we have to actually have some football to cover and to talk about. So getting geared up for that should be super fun. So, hey, toss us a follow and get ready for some CFL football with us. Because with the amount of time that's passed through this pandemic already, Shane, it feels like a lifetime. That happened in a week. So before we know it, it'll be June. We'll be playing football. I believe it.
Yeah, 100%. But anyways, guys, thank you all for tuning in. We will catch you back here next week with Justin Dunk, 3Down Nation. Hopefully everything goes into place. But thank you all for tuning in. We will catch you back here next week. Follow myself, Shannon_Ryan97, Frankie at 13. Did you change it? Is it still
HPR? HPR_Frankie13.
Yeah. Follow his hockey podcast at HPR Hockey or Hockey Podcast.
HPR_podcast.
See, I'm just totally out of it. Yeah, follow me at Sens_Hour. If you weren't sure, if you're in the Ottawa area, we were nominated for Faces Magazine Best Sports Podcast. So head on over there. Our Twitter page, Instagram has all the information. So it'd be great if you check it out. Hopefully next year, this podcast will be nominated. But for that being said, we will all talk to you guys later. Thank you all for joining us live hit that like, comment, subscribe button, all that fun stuff. You know what to do. We'll see you here next week.